Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Today on Bagels and Blessings, you're going to hear an interview with my friend Carol Joseph. Carol is someone that I had on the program probably sometime in the 90s, so it's been a very long time, darling. Can't wait to hear what she has to say. Stay with me and I'll be right back. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a Messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you are in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. Now open Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m., Tuesdays by appointment, Wednesdays from 3 to 8 p.m., Thursdays from 3 to 6 p.m., and up to 30 minutes after services on Saturdays. You can call the Fig Tree Bookstore at 585-484-7775. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit Congregation Shema Yisrael. And now, when you make a purchase at the Fig Tree Bookstore, you can fill out a raffle ticket. Those names will be drawn for a prize from Bagels and Blessings. So those of you in the Rochester area, be sure to visit Congregation Shema Yisrael in the Fig Tree Bookstore and fill out your ticket for a chance to win a prize from Bagels and Blessings. In the background, you hear the voice of Jonathan Sattel. As of this recording, I just learned of his passing. Please keep him and his family in prayer at this time. He was a wonderful man, an anointed worship leader, and he will be missed by so very many people. Rest in peace, Jonathan Sattel. Here's Becca Shea.
I'm convinced neither death nor life nor angels or principalities. in the ninth hour. No longer bound by law because he loves us all. There isn't a thing we could do to receive this grace he freely gave. But believe by faith that this love is true.
And you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. This is Ethel Chadwick. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Stay tuned for an interview with Carol Joseph. Right now, here's Jordan Elias with Psalm 91. Be encouraged.
So holy. our side. 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not come near you, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked one. Because you have made the Lord your refuge. You are holy. So holy. Lord, you are holy. So Avinu Malkeinu, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh Ata. Holy Father, my King, you are holy, holy, holy Lord.
Again, that was Jordan Elias, and you should go back and open your Bible and look at Psalm 91. It's just a really wonderful picture of protection and safety and dwelling in the shadow of his wings. Really beautiful song. All right, well, we have time for more music. How about something from Paul Wilbur? I have had Paul Wilbur's CD, Desert Rain, for quite a long time now, and there was a song that I had overlooked. And then this past summer, I visited a congregation in the Newport News area and discovered the worship team doing this beautiful song called Behold the Lord, and I just fell in love with it, only to find out that I had it all along. So here it is, Behold the Lord.
Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord Almighty. True and righteous are all your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, glorify your name? Behold the Lord, God is my salvation. In him I trust and will not be afraid. And I will give thanks and sing among the nations forever. Behold the Lord, behold the Lord. Behold the Lord. So rejoice and be glad in this, our God is with us. Messiah Emmanuel, Lion of Judah. Voice and declare the glory of our King. Behold the Lord, God
Shalom, friends. This is Paul Wilbur, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
In Deuteronomy, the chapter 6, verses 4 to 7, you hear the Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then it goes into what we call the Ve'ahavta. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And it goes on to talk about these words that He has commanded us should be in our heart, how we should teach them to our children, etc. We call this prayer the Ve'ahavta, and one of the most beautiful arrangements ever, I think, is from Liberated Wailing Wall, and here it is, the Ve'ahavta.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
Carol Joseph, welcome back to Bagels and Blessings.
It's so fun to be here. I especially love the time with you and the blessings.
Aw, thank you. You know, I was trying to figure it out. I'm sure I could go back in the archives, but I don't think you've been on the air since sometime in the 1990s. It's been quite a while.
Oh, yes, it has been a long time. I can't even believe it would be the 1990s, though, but it's possible.
It is possible.
It's been way too long.
I'm telling you. So inquiring minds want to know, did you grow up in a traditional Jewish home?
Yes, I grew up conservative Jewish in just outside of Boston in a city called Newton, Massachusetts, and went to synagogue there, graduated from synagogue, got my bat mitzvah there. Then, like many of us, kind of never drifted away from being culturally Jewish, but drifted away from synagogue attendance while I went to college and all of that, and then came back.
I see. Well, growing up, Carol, did you have any friends that were followers of Jesus, or did you hear anything about him at all growing up?
Well, of course I did hear things about him. But, you know, if any of you know where Newton, Massachusetts is, there weren't very many non-Jewish people there at that time in the 50s, 60s. I graduated from high school in 1970. And I always joke that we only had one non-Jewish person in my entire elementary school, and we all felt sorry for her at the Jewish holidays. But when I was probably around 10, I think, we had a summer home in Nantasket Beach, and there were non-Jewish people there. I don't know that they were born again, but they were Christian. I think they might have been, I don't know what their background was, but they invited me to their house for Christmas. And I will never forget that, because I remember thinking being told whenever, you know, when I was really little and I saw Santa Claus or Jordan Marsh and Rossman, I always wanted to go. And my mother would say, "We can't go, you're Jewish." And but she would tell me that it was better to be Jewish because we had 8 days of Hanukkah and the Christians only had 1 day of Christmas. And when she finally gave in and let me go sit on Santa's lap, and he said, "What do you want for Christmas?" I just said, "Oh, we're not Christmas, I'm Jewish." And that was it. I didn't get anything for Christmas. But when I went to these friends' house for Christmas and I saw what they got.
And now here's my interview with Jen Rosner.
Something missing from Hanukkah. But it wasn't for a long time later that I realized what it was that was missing from Hanukkah, the very light itself.
Well, do tell, how did a nice Jewish girl from Massachusetts end up finding out that Jesus is for the Jews?
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I always really cared about God. I always really cared about being Jewish. I didn't really know very many Christians, at least not that were. Yeah, it's funny, I didn't know people that were Christians until after I became a believer. And people began to tell me that they were so excited that I had become a Christian and that they were too. And I thought, I was a little bit disappointed. Why didn't they tell me sooner? Because I had known them, but nobody had ever shared the gospel with me. So I never knew that it was for me until literally I was in my 30s. And I was in graduate school at Brandeis working on a PhD in healthcare policy. And one of my co-students, who became a very, very close friend, we started a study group together. And he's the first person that ever told me about being born again. I never, ever, ever heard that.
Wow. And that's when you learned. That's when you learned what Christian really means. Because growing up Jewish, we just think, you know, either you're Jewish or you're Christian. We just lump everybody who's not Jewish as Christian.
That's exactly true. So I had no idea. But this young man, Chris, was so impressive. And the thing that impressed me the most was that he had that peace that surpassed all understanding that I wanted my whole life and never got. And I tried hard to be observant. I used to beg my mother to be more observant because I thought somehow God would love us more. And then I would be content and not anxious all the time. None of it worked. But here was Chris, and his wife had their youngest child, who's named Matthew. He told me that that meant gift of God. And Matthew was born with some pretty significant birth defects, and I thought that I would never have been able to cope with that. And yet he and his wife walked through that with such grace and such a joy and viewed Matthew as such a tremendous gift from God that I was blown away. I don't know what else to say. Now, I didn't come to faith right then. That took a few more years. I knew Chris for 3 or 4 years before I actually prayed to receive Jesus. And I'll tell you that story. It's one of my favorites. And I'm so glad to be here because I haven't told this story in a long time.
Oh, good. I can't wait to hear it.
I developed an eating disorder, ended up in a 12-step group, and I began to work the steps. And when I came to step 11, which says, I sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of his will for me and power to carry that out. That's the prayer that did it. Because if we seek him, we will find him. He will be found by us. He makes himself known as we seek him. And through those steps, I needed to put down the substances that made me compulsively overeat and not ever want to stop, even after the point of being sick. And God gave me, when I prayed, God, show me your will, give me power, because I didn't have any power. I knew it wasn't his will that I should compulsively overeat to the point of being sick, but I was powerless to put it down. And so I asked God for help. And the first day, when he helped me get through that one day without flour and sugar, I felt like it was the parting of the Red Sea. I knew that there was a God. I knew that he was supernatural, and I knew that he cared about me. And it led to a whole process of a day of praying it turned into a week, turned into a month, turned into 9 months. Interesting, a gestation period. Because 9 months later, when I got up to step 11 and began praying that every day, show me, show me, show me your will for me, all of a sudden I feel what I can only describe as a tug on my heart saying, you want to know what my will is? And then you have to believe in my son. He didn't use those words. I didn't hear it that way, but I knew it was about Jesus. And I remember saying back to God, now, wait a minute, I'm Jewish, but if you want me to believe in him, show me. And I committed to praying that every day for 21 days. And on the 28th, probably the 20th day, I don't know, somewhere towards the end of those 3 weeks, Chris and I were having lunch, and he looked at me and he said, I think you have come to believe in Jesus. And the spirit in me wept when I read about the birth accounts and when Mary goes to see Elizabeth and John in her womb has this response. That's how I felt when he said it. I felt like, and I said to him, oh my gosh, I think I already have.
Wow.
His words were, I think you're ready to accept Jesus as your Messiah. And I went, oh, I think I already have. And he said, I think you have too. And then we prayed together for me to receive Jesus. And I thought that was the end. I thought I had arrived. I thought I now have an amazing career. I'm getting a degree. A PhD, I have a beautiful little red sports car, I have a nice condo, what else could I, and I have Jesus too, that's it. But I didn't realize that that wasn't the end, that was like the beginning of what's become. But in 1990, a 33-year journey that isn't over yet. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Wow, well, I have a few questions. Like, first of all, how did you tell your Jewish family about your new faith?
That wasn't easy, and I didn't tell them right away. Yeah. I didn't want to tell them right away because I wanted them to see how I changed. I knew they wouldn't react well, but I waited. When I told them was only after God called me into Jews for Jesus. Because, Ethel, that was really, really hard. I kept praying, talking to Chris and saying, do you think this could just be an Abrahamic test and God just wants to know if I'm willing to leave everything and go and do this crazy ministry? Or is he really going to make me do this? And so I just decided I'm going to keep taking the steps and praying God close the door or open the door. And everything was closing except for, at first I thought, okay, I knew God was calling me to take this message to Jewish people. And so I remember thinking, oh, well, obviously I need to sell everything I own, give it to the poor, and move to Israel. But the door closed to moving to Israel because that's when the Supreme Court decision came down that if you're a Jewish believer in Jesus, you couldn't make Aliyah. So I knew I couldn't go there.
Well, wait, Carol. At this point, did you even know that there were Jews other than you that believed in Jesus?
Well, I didn't until I came to faith. But then I had answered an ad in the Boston Globe. Thank you for asking this because it's an important part of my story. That was a Yeshua ad, and it offered a free book on the prophecies about Jesus called Yeshua, the Jewish Way to Save Jesus, which I sent away for. I never send away for anything, but I sent away for that. Got it. Amazing book. And just so your listeners know, David Brickner, our executive director, is now putting together kind of an updated and new version of that book of all of prophecies pointing to Jesus from the Hebrew scripture. And so keep your eye out for that, Ethel, because I think it's going to be an amazing book.
Oh, yeah.
And
sounds
very,
good.
Very, very useful. Particularly if you know Jewish people that don't yet know Jesus and want to understand that. So I got that book, and right after I prayed to receive Jesus, one of the staff from Jews for Jesus called me in response to my ordering that book. And we began to meet, and I began to go to Jews for Jesus Shabbat services on Friday night that was meeting then in Boston. And so I went to church on Sunday. And met with Jews and went to Shabbat services with Jews for Jesus on Friday. So I began to know there were Jewish people that believed in Jesus. But I started going to a church, and the only reason I got baptized was it was a membership requirement. Months later, they said, we're going to have membership classes. And I thought, I'd really like to be a member of this church, but you had to be baptized. I didn't even know what that meant. I'd never heard of it. And so in the classes, they explained to me that and they didn't explain this, but I came to learn later that it's from the mikveh. It's from the Jewish mikveh.
Yeah.
And when John the Baptist was baptizing, this was not something new, but this was something that Jewish people didn't do because they were already clean. The Gentiles would get baptized when they were converted, so to speak, or came into the Jewish people. And everything just began to click and make sense to me, but I didn't understand it in all of its fullness. And so I got baptized and then came on staff with Jews for Jesus a year and a half later. And the rest is history, because God kept opening that door. And I remember in my interview, they said, what are you going to do if we don't accept you? And I said, I'm going to go back to a very happy life. Because I was scared to death.
Wow. Wow. So how is God using you today? And how are some ways that your life changed? I know one of the ways is you were healed from your food addiction. What are some other ways that your life changed, and how is God using you today?
Okay. So first of all, let me say I'm not healed from my food addiction. It's almost like a cancer that's in remission, but can sometimes rear its ugly head. I have had a couple of relapses over the years, but then I come back into that right pattern. And so I just wanted to clear that up.
Okay.
Because I'm not healed. I just have reprieves as I follow God and His will and rely on His power. But, okay, so that, aside from that, I have served for Jews for Jesus in Toronto, Canada, Los Angeles, but most of my ministry for 20 years was in New York City, Brooklyn, and Manhattan. But in 2018, I bought a condominium in Florida, and I went back and forth between New York City and Florida. One, because my mother was elderly and I wanted to be closer to her, and two, because I wanted to have a place that I could afford to live in one day when I retired in New York City wasn't likely to be that place. So I moved down here part-time. And then in 2019, not long before the pandemic hit, I left New York and moved full-time to Florida. So now I still serve with the ministry, but part-time, which I am loving. And some of the things that God is really using me, I mean, I bought a really larger condominium than I needed for myself. But I have truly loved being able to offer hospitality. That's always been a gift of mine. That's always been a desire of mine to, and even when I lived in Brooklyn, I would have the kids from Manhattan come and have sleepovers and just fill the place with people to come and find rest and refreshment. So I love having visitors here, especially visitors from New York City, because when they come down, they really unwind and de-stress. And I am feeling this month has been a month full of visitors. And so I am really excited about all that I get to do and be in representing him and serving him through loving and serving others. That's a huge thing right now because I have people here even now, and it's just fills me up.
Wow. I'm making a note of this, Carol. Make it a note.
Yes, Ethel, you do that. You make a note. I also travel a lot, so now I'm going to be going to Texas to do our annual Christ in the Passover tour. I'm only going for a week. Most of our missionaries are out for 2 weeks at Passover. And I love doing that. I love watching eyes open when they understand the scriptures and how Jewish the gospel is. That still blesses me.
Praise the Lord.
To be able to do that.
Let's address the elephant that might be in the room. Let's say there's a Jewish person listening. Let's talk about this for a second. Would you say that you converted to another religion?
No, I did not. I was born Jewish. I'll die Jewish. I'll be Jewish forever and ever and ever. But I do believe that the Newer Testament, the Greek Kabbalah, is the second part of the story. And so until I met Jesus in 1988, I knew the history of our people. I knew that God chose our people. But I didn't understand. And I knew that God had pointed to a Messiah who would come and change everything. I didn't know who he was. I knew he hadn't come yet. Most of the people that I knew in the secular Jewish world kind of treated the Messiah like Santa Claus. You know, when Messiah comes, we'll have everything we ever wanted. And that's true. But what we ever wanted was not, you know, the bigger car. It was actually to be in the presence of the Lord Almighty. And so I came to believe that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, that he is God himself, that he's the one that the prophets promised would come to restore all things, first in my own heart, and one day will come to restore the entire world.
Praise the Lord. And one last question. How do you, excuse me, how do you deal with people that don't even accept scripture as the inspired word of God? I think it's just a bunch of stories written by man. Because, you know, the scriptures are what we use to share the truth about Yeshua. But if they don't even accept the scriptures, I'm just wondering how have you worked around that?
Well, you know, that always is a problem. I don't use the scriptures to prove the scriptures. If somebody doesn't accept the scripture, then, you know, actually always we have to start relationally. We have to be the truth and reveal the truth and demonstrate the gospel in our words and in our lives. And so I talk to people about the nature of truth. And if they even believe in that, sadly, many people don't even believe that there is one. And that people just get to choose their own truth, to which a really good, not a little, I don't actually use these words, but I go, and how is that working for you? Like, most people are not in that place where they truly are fulfilled, satisfied, can walk joyously through suffering. Suffering is actually a pretty big issue and a universal issue. And Americans are notably bad at suffering because our cultural stories don't help us with that. But the gospel does. So I begin to communicate with people about through story or through experiences, because nobody can argue with your own story. That's just my story, whether it's true for them or not. It's my story. And they can see it because I don't just tell it. I try to live it with all of my mistakes, you know, with all of my failures. And there are those too. And those are great opportunities. Just like my friend Chris. You know, it wasn't that I didn't believe in the scriptures, but I didn't really know the scriptures at all. But I watched him walk through the birth of his son and other kind of hardships with this solid faith and an even keel. And he would attribute that 100% to knowing Jesus as his Messiah.
Wonderful.
So I would invite people to explore that and to see that and to see if that isn't what I've come to know, that it is the best explanation of history, our present and our future, and in him, not following Christians that are not following him, but following him, read his life and see if what he teaches and what he did makes the most sense for how to live in this life.
So and did oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I said and come out of it whole.
Yes. So did Jesus make you kosher?
Yes.
Amen, kosher sister.
Clean, legit, certified, all of those terms. Yes.
Amen, amen. Carol, what a delight to hear your story again and to have you on the program. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
You're welcome. I love being here.
Is there anything we can pray for before we end?
Yes. Pray for my time out on speaking tour. That's going to be from April 2nd through April 9th. And others that will be sharing the good news through those testimonies. You can actually go online and find out where there's going to be a Christ in the Passover presentation near you, or actually it may have already happened by the time you're hearing this.
I'll have to bump you ahead just to get you on air in time. I will say before
I'll leave that to you.
Yes, I will say before we end that Passover is one of the holidays that really made the most sense to me when I was contemplating whether or not Jesus was the Messiah, because of all the symbolism and everything that happened. And I just even realizing, you know, or learning that the Last Supper was a Passover Seder, and it was just mind-blowing.
Yes, that's so true. Not only for you, for so many of us.
God is so good. All right, well, we've run out of time, but listen, thank you so much. God bless you, and let's do this again sometime, okay?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, shalom for now.
Bye. The rolling thunder,
thy power throughout the universe display. As Yael Shir Beshev Achdulatcha Adir Shimcha Nisgavata Yael Shiri El Kes Tifartecha Nisa Varam Kadoshata.
Yeah.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.